You enter into a massive cavern, and through the darkness, you can barely see the form of a massive dragon, asleep upon a pile of wondrous treasures. What do you do?
We don't know what sort of dragon this is, so I will just go with it lightning bolt.
I would like to sneak around into backstab position.
I will prepare my protection wards and healing spells.
I draw forth my new weapon, and charge at the beast, screaming my classic war cry.
You mean the plus one podcast of slaying? Really? Wow, you are such an idiot. Okay, your blow bounces harmlessly off of the dragon's snout, but now it is quite awake. Everyone roll for initiative, and may God have mercy on your souls.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I, again, am your host, Wormus. So, today's my birthday. Yay! I am already a couple years over being officially an old fart, but that's okay. I figured today I'd do something a little different, since it's my birthday. You know, not gonna rant, not gonna, you know, flip out about this or that or the other, or, you know, complain. I'm going to talk about something I like, something I enjoy, something that is, well, I feel like it is something I missed as a longtime game master. As I've said before, I've been either game mastering or playing tabletop role-playing games for now 41 years. Like 1979. Pretty sure it was 79 when I started playing, but definitely late 70s. And it's old enough so much that it really doesn't matter. But I have an extensive collection of games and game accessories, and of course, dice and all that. That's fine. You know, I've got all that stuff. Wonderful. But recently, last couple months, I've been collecting tools that I normally wouldn't have gotten. Sure, Game Master Emulator. Started with CRGE, which is free. Then I went and got a hold of Mythic, which is kind of the standard. And I've tried some others. And I got myself the Mythic Game Emulator deck, which I'm going to go into a little bit here later on, but those are all fine. They're very useful. They've super handy. I enjoy them. Some are better than others, but you're going to get what you pay for effectively. You know? There's a reason why Mythic is not free, right? But over on DriveThruRPG, I came across it's cards. Storytelling cards that they come in a variety of different decks for different styles of play. We'll get to that. They're called the Game Master's Apprentice, and I have all of them right now with the exception of two. I did not get the High Seas piratey type one because that's not the sort of game I play. And I did not get the one that's based around the game Demon Hunters. Because again, I don't play that. I thought about it, but I've got enough comedy slash horror games. I enjoyed the movie Demon Hunters. If you haven't seen it, go find it online. It's funny. Especially the second one. Quite enjoyable. Dead Camper Lake. Good fun. Anyway. So, like I said, I went ahead and got this Game Master's Apprentice, and they have at DriveThruRPG, they have an affiliated site that will print you cards. So I got them printed. Not very expensive. And it's definitely worth it because what you get on each of these cards, they're two-sided, right? They're same. Well, not the same, but they've got individual cards on each side of the card. You get 60 cards, so it's like 120 different results when you draw a card. And keep in mind, this is generally for solo role-playing or cooperative game masterless role-playing, but it can be used in a regular role-playing session just for tossing some randomness or if a game master needs something right off the fly. Now, I mentioned Mythic before, and it does a great job of emulating in some ways, giving you tables to roll dice and come up with the results. And you'll get that with a lot of different solo games or role-playing games in general. For example, Ironsworn, which can be played solo, cooperative, or as a regular role-playing game. It's chock full of different tables, right? But they're specific to that game. Sure, you can adapt them or use them for other fantasy games to some degree, but it's meant for Ironsworn. Game Master's Apprentice is generic. They have a standard, regular set that can be used for any type of gaming, right? Then they have ones for different genres. Let's see. I'm currently using, in what I'm doing right now at home, I'm using the horror deck. No, I'm sorry, that's the fantasy deck. And it's a standard deck. This one is... That's the science fiction set. Then there's horror. And finally, the steampunk set. And like I said, there's a couple more sets that I didn't bother to get. But I think that's plenty. Plus, I tossed in a little tiny set of cards that help you decipher what you get on a Game Master's Apprentice card. Now, so let's take a look at this key. It'll go over, this is what you get on a single standard Game Master's Apprentice card. When you make a draw, you've got a number up in the upper left, which is a difficulty generator from 1 to 10. The numbers are bell curved, so there's not a whole lot towards 1 and not a whole lot towards 10, but there's more as you get more up towards the middle. So it tends towards more of a middle-of-the-road result with more rarity towards the minimums and maximums. So you're not going to see a lot of very weak creatures, if let's say for you're running into an encounter and you want to set up a quick encounter, you draw and you get a 6. Okay, it's going to be about a middle-of-the-road, a little tougher than average encounter. If I rolled a 1... It'd be a cakewalk. You might as well ignore them. If it's a 10, hey, look, you got a boss battle. There's that dragon you were looking for. Then it's got a likely odds. Now, this is a lot like where other oracles are, where you do the whole yes or no questions, where you'd go, hey, is there something dangerous behind, will I run into something dangerous behind this door? And draw, is it even odds, bad odds, or good odds that something will happen? And it'll tell you whether you get a no, a yes, an emphatic no, or an emphatic yes. Emphatic meaning it's no but, or yes and. Not only is there something dangerous behind this door, there's something even worse. Something unexpected, right? So you've got that right there. It's not as detailed as, say, Mythic, but it doesn't have to be because of everything else on this card. Number 3, you have in the upper left, you have a dice wheel. It'll show a symbol for a D4, D6, D8, D10, D12, D20, and a D percentile, right? So if you needed to roll one of those dice, say you're playing Cyberpunk 2020 and you need to roll a D10, well, you want to do it quietly, but your players don't know. You can draw this and go, what does the D10 say? In this case, it says I got a 4. Okay. So you can do those silent checks that the players won't even know you're doing. They're sitting there chatting amongst themselves about what, you know, what they thought of the pizza that people brought that day, and you're sitting there getting ready to gank them with a sniper. Whatever, you know, it is what it is. Then you've got also off in the upper right, a Norse rune. So if you wanted to do, instead of a yes-no question, you can do more of a tarot-like, as they put it, more of a tarot-like result. Okay? So they have cards in the, well, this is all, they have all these detailed out when you buy the deck, too. You don't, in a PDF, you don't need to have this little explanatory cards that I got. I just find them easier when I'm playing. Is that three cards that'll tell you of the 24 runes, you look it up, it'll tell you what the rune is. Like this one, Tiwaz, is a tier/leadership, authority, justice, rationality, success in competition, self-sacrifice. You can use that as an inspiration for setting a scene or someone's motivation or whatever. Instead of, is there danger behind the door? I could draw this and go, authority, justice, rationality. Maybe there is danger behind that door, and it's an orc chieftain. He's authority, right? And if it was an emphatic yes, it's an orc chieftain and his bodyguards, right? So there's lots of ways you can use that. Now then, just below that, we have at number 5, an elemental symbol, earth, air, fire, or water. Now that again can be used in a tarot-like manner because, you know, fire brings aggression and energy, water brings nurturing calm and hidden depths, air brings movement and curiosity, earth brings endurance and stability. So you could draw again, you've got your, you know, there's an orc leader back there, and you know you drew fire, so there's aggression, he's itching for a fight, say, right? Then you've got random events, a verb, an adjective, and a noun. Draw one card for each and combine them into a phrase. So that's very like a lot of emulators do this, okay? What they'll do is, cards out, trying to open up my mythic deck quick. Pull one of them. All right. They have something similar where they'll have a description, but it's only two cards, like warlike. Oh, no, you take two, you put them next to each other. So it'd be like aggressively warlike or threateningly amusing, which is great for helping to set a scene or to describe somebody's, you know, where is the mindset of that NPC or villain or whatever. But I use that especially for setting a scene. Now, this next one is amazing. I love it. Sensory snippets. I use this all the time now when I'm doing solo role playing. And it's one of those things where I was like, yeah, no, I wish I had had Game Master's assistant or apprentice, Game Master's apprentice years ago. I so needed this. Like I said, sensory snippets from top to bottom, something to hear, see, feel, and smell or taste. So like, if you're like wondering, somebody asks, okay, what do I see in this room? Draw and go, brutally oversized weapons. Okay, what does that tell me trying to set the scene? Maybe I see that they've entered into an armory. And you've got these way oversized armor and weapons. Like, oh, yeah, this is like where ogres or, you know, it's used by orcs or whatever. It's definitely not people. And, or you could say, hey, I come around the corner and brutally oversized weapons. Well, you walked and you're looking right at the back of this big angry orc who's got this huge ass sword on his back, right? So that allows you to get these little snippets of information that you can feed to the player to help set the scene, start things up, and get things rolling. Especially in cases where your players have gone off the beaten path, they've left your adventure completely behind, and you're just having to wing it. This will basically carry you through that. And like I said, for solo role-playing, it's amazing because I like to fairly often actually, draw to see what I see, what is happening. A quick little yes, no. All right, is anything bad about to happen to me? Random encounter. Yes, something's bad's going to happen. All right, so let's draw three cards to see what set a scene. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, it's going to be something along these lines. Fine. So maybe I feel like there's going to be something, a potential combat here, something threatening. All right, so I need to find out, what does my character experience? Do any of these sensory things give me a clue? And I can say maybe he saw brutalized oversized weapons, or there's soot, which makes your eyes itch. Was there a fire here? Was there an explosion? What happened there? The jangle of arms and armor. Is he approaching a road and there is a troop of soldiers walking down the road? Delicate, otherworldly perfume. So he's traveling through the woods and he catches a whiff of perfume. Where could that be coming from? All these things help to build that scene, make it unique, and get your brain going. Rui brings that scene to life instead of just, oh, there's going to be a fight. Let's figure out what that's going to be. This helps draw the imagination out. And I'm like I said, use it all the time. Let's see. Then we got tag symbols. Okay. It's 10 symbols in unique combinations of three. You interpret them based on association or use a table. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't use these very often. They're here. They're more Taro-like. But yeah, it's not my thing. Yeah, you can interpret them like this example card they have as tower, obstacle, fortress, location, a crown, royalty, intrigue, power, and moon, confusion, misunderstanding, subterfuge. You can take those, put them together to kind of come up with a scene, what's coming up. Maybe come up with an idea for a quest, that sort of thing. I mean, this is tower and royalty and subterfuge. Is that saying that a princess was taken to this tower by somebody looking to undermine the king, or try and blackmail or get money out of the king or whatever? Are they trying to force a royal marriage to gain power? That sort of thing, you know? Again, not something I use a lot, but very useful. Let's see. Then we got scatter die. Directional arrows plus hit and miss. For their example, it's got like an arrow pointing to the left. So if I'm making I'm doing a dungeon crawl, right? I don't have to draw out the dungeon and know where everything goes. I can just do it square by square, on a grid map, and draw and say, okay, now it goes this way and it goes that way. And if it turns that it doesn't make sense, well, then you just draw again. Here's a way that it makes more sense that the hallway would go. Now these are all on one card, keep in mind. And there's more. You got belongings, which is a category of items, followed by three examples. You choose one or come up with a related item. So you can use this as like, you killed a bandit, all right? And you was like, okay, I want to loot the corpse. All right, So you could, you know, roll on a random table in D&D or whatever and go, oh, he has a few coppers on him. And, you know, he used a dagger, so he'd have a dagger, and he was wearing kind of bad armor, so he has that. But is that all he's going to have? Is that all that this character was? Because a lot of people forget that your monsters, your opponents, your low-level NPCs, they aren't just victims to be ganked or, you know, random encounters. They're NPCs too. They should have some character to them, and maybe they has some small change, like we'd said, a few coins, right? Maybe he has a small IOU in his pocket. Somebody had, maybe another bandit had lost to him in dice, and so he gave him an IOU because he didn't have any money on him to pay him off. When they make the big score, he can trade in that IOU. And that actually could lead to them knowing, okay, well, there's more bandits. He's got this IOU. Let's go see if we can find them. Or maybe precious metal shavings. Are these guys perhaps shaving coins of the realm? Are they the counterfeiters? Are they the ones that the king has you out looking for? Could be. See, these bring more life to your game. Anyway, the next one I use a lot, and that's names. Really simple. I mean, you could roll on a table for names. Sure, you could. Ironsworn's got an excellent name generator, but this has one probably masculine name, one that's probably feminine, and one that's probably gender neutral. So if I need a name for a waitress, somebody asks, oh, what's the waitress's name? Nima. Nima? What's that? Well, that's her name. Okay. Or some guard. You want to know what the guard's name? Well, his name's Henrik. Or some elf that you come across. It's Almandine. These are all off the example card. Anyway, so simple and easy way to go. You don't want to think of a name on the fly. You got a name. I would jot it down, obviously. Never know when that person's going to come back. Anyway, then you have a catalyst. An inciting incident for a story seed. A planar traveler arrives. Again, this is from the fantasy set. So what exactly does that mean? Could that mean that somebody literally just dimension doored into the area and that's going to be the what incites off a new quest? Maybe they're looking for help, adventurers to join them on their party, whatever, right? Or a planar traveler could mean, if you're playing Rifts, could mean that a DB just arrived and it's wreaking havoc through the small town you're in. It all depends on how you want to interpret it in, you know, working within the game you are playing. You always have to keep that in mind. Is this appropriate to the game you're playing? If you're playing a game where dimensional beings aren't generally just going to port in, well, okay, that doesn't really apply. Let me draw a different card and get a different catalyst. Boom. Then you have a location. If you need a random location for a story seed, on this random example card, it has location labyrinth. You could be traveling through this fey wood and you're like, okay, well, something's going to happen, right? So you need to draw really quick to see if there's a change to the situation. You draw and go, oh, you come into a clearing and there is a hedge maze ahead of you. Well, if you're in a fey wood, the last thing I would do personally is enter into a hedge maze, you know, and maybe I, you know, don't want to come out 300 years later. That's just me. I don't know. Maybe you would have a different plan. Maybe you don't have something to do next Thursday. Eh, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, reappear 300 years in the future. That's fine. But point is, it gives you something to work with, a starting point. Something that changes. And of course, like I said, with a catalyst, if it doesn't apply, you ignore it. Or you could still go, okay, labyrinth. How does that apply to my current situation? Is there a way that, let's say, I happen to be playing a cyberpunk type game, Labyrinth, how would that apply? Oh, maybe that's saying that our get the information we need, our netrunner is going to have to jack in and circumnavigate their extensive security system to go through the network and find the data they need. That person needs to traverse the labyrinth while you all watch his back and keep the guards from coming in, killing you all, because it is cyberpunk. Then we have, again, all on one card, you have random virtues and vices, character motivations and weaknesses. Draw one card for each for true randomness, like temperance or envy, things like that. The point being, you've got a new character that shows up, a new NPC, or you're making a new character and you want to have a quick little, what sort of personality do I want to have? What's his main virtue? Temperance. Okay. Does he have any vices? Envy. All right. Make that work for you. It's a great way to help get the juices flowing for role playing. Right? Now, that's where most cards end, with the exception of the fantasy deck. The fantasy deck has one more thing, which is in the middle of the dice up at the upper right of the card. It has a symbol, which is called a prompt icon. This field's only on the fantasy deck. It's a unique picture for freeform interpretation. In their example, it has a severed hand. Well, I'm going to say right now, I just started using the fantasy deck, and I've never actually used that particular symbol. I've never used that prompt. It's there if I literally have nothing else that's coming to mind that's helping me move the story along. And that's what these are for, is to move the story along, right? But some people might find it useful. Now, here's the thing. Game Master's Apprentice isn't just an Oracle deck. I mean, it does a fine job with that, but it also is a game unto itself. You don't need a role-playing game to use this. If you just want to sit down and do some free-form role-playing, let's say you want to do a fantasy game. Okay, fine. You pick up the fantasy deck or the standard deck, and you want to make a character, draw three cards. Take a name from one, the virtue and vice from the next, and belongings from the third. You got a little bit of gear that helps you build ideas for your character. You've got a name. You know what your virtue is. You know what your vice is. You just interpret those in context with each other. You can also add in a sensory snippet, a prompt icon, or a set of tag symbols to add more detail. Help you build a quest for what you're going to do. And the mechanics use the difficulty generator, which was the first thing we mentioned, to set the character's relative power or friendliness. One might mean instant hatred or a weak minion. 10 might mean love at first sight or a powerful boss monster. You can also draw to create random encounters, as we talked about. Gives you lots of different options for that. Tells you how to answer questions using it. And of course, how to use all the other symbols and runes. And then if you buy this Universal Explanation deck, which is what, 6 different cards, it also has blank tags to use as a table in place of the tags that they come with. So maybe in yours, crown means something completely different than it does on the regular explanations, right? So basically, you can make this entirely your own, something completely different from what you normally would have. And honestly, that's why I really, really, really love this. And I know I've gone long. Doesn't matter. This is the sort of product that if you are a game master or even a player, but Whether you play solo, regular, or cooperative, it doesn't matter. If you're a role player, you need to have this. This is the sort of product that everybody can use. And if only just to, you're a player, just to come up with great ideas to beef out your character, or maybe to suggest to your game master ways you can twist your role playing, improve your role playing, or replace dice. Oh, bugger, I didn't bring my dice, but I've got this. I can draw rather than roll. I'm not super satisfying to me, but, you know, it is an option. Anyway, if you're a game master, especially one that has to occasionally just roll with it and go on the fly, you have to have this. This is the sort of thing where you're like, no. I need this product. Absolutely need this product. So anyway, I'm not sponsored by Game Master's Apprentice. If they wanted to sponsor me, I'd be happy to do that. But no, that's not what I'm doing here. Just, it's my birthday, and I thought I would share with you all something I find ridiculously awesome. And if they ever come out with more decks, I will probably buy those too. I'm even thinking of buying the High Seas one, just, you know, not that I need it, more that one of those times where they're so inexpensive, you're like, you know what? I could buy another deck just to support the author. Sure, why not? Especially if you're using another Oracle. Oh my God. Using that in combination with the Mythic deck. Yeah. You can draw something from the Mythic deck, get a basic idea, and then flesh it out with what you get off the Apprentice. That is how I plan to do my solo role-playing from now on. If a game like if I'm playing Ironsworn, I'll use their system because that's what it's designed for. But if it isn't one that's got its own Oracle built in, I absolutely am going to use these products. Because, super awesome. And again, that's on drivethroughrpg.com. Anyway, so happy birthday to me. I'm going to stop talking now so you can go on about your day and hopefully have a fine one. So until next time, I'm Squirmus. And remember, what was that again? Darn it. Oh, yeah. May all your dice rolls be nice rolls. Doing three different podcasts, trying to keep all the catchphrases at the end straight. Yeah. Here's a thought. Don't do three separate podcasts a week.
That didn't take very long. Not surprisingly, everyone is quite dead. I think I need a drink.
Too late. I drank all the booze after my cleric was stomped to death in the first round.
Fighter. You ruined my surprise attack. What were you thinking?
What was he thinking? I'll tell you what he was thinking. Nothing. Now my poor wizard is a greasy smear on the cavern floor.
Okay, I get it. But you have to admit that my fighter did look pretty epic with his plus one podcast of slaying.
The fight lasted all of two rounds, and you died second, right after the cleric did. Okay everybody, roll up new characters, and we'll see you all next week.